The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you into fantasy sports like we are? It's time to get the inside scoop on the sport and how it affects your team. This is Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. It's a hard look at the transactions, the injuries, free agents, and starters. And the best part is, you get to ask the experts so you can win. Now, here's Dish Adams.
Oh, yeah. It is that time again. It is Thursday, counting up to the football game tonight. A dog, if you will, Kansas City and San Diego. Not too many fantasy heroes in this game. I guess Jamal Charles fans will be watching. Phillip Rivers, are you playing him against that Kansas City D? You should be playing Ryan Matthews. They can't stop anybody. But information, that's what you want. So Calvin Johnson, no practice today. We'll talk about him. Titus Young exploded finally. Michael LeSueur back at practice. Dwayne Allen going to get some more snaps with Kobe Fleener gone in Indianapolis. Ryan Tannehill had his knee drained a couple of times. He's 50-50 to play. Mike Vick starts again. Nick Foles could be in there soon. Running backs for your squad. What about Daryl Richardson? Even though no trade happened yet. Donald Brown. Well, he pulled up lame, I think, in practice. Either that or they're resting him. Stephen Howling, Jonathan Dwyer, those guys viable? What about Jordy Nelson? Is he going to play this week? Josh Freeman, can he be trusted? As we said, the trade deadline is here, and it looks like Aqib Talib is the only big name that moved. Jonathan Dwyer will start again. Jonathan Stewart, now the featured back. Brandon LaFell has a concussion, which was not disclosed during the game. Big trouble for Carolina. Cam Newton, speaking of big trouble, he goes against the Washington defense. He's going to create some big trouble. Definitely worth a start in fantasy circles. DeMarco Murray and the Dallas boys, Philip Tanner and Felix Jones, any of them startable? Looks like Murray's not going to play again. Cecil Shorts, long on fantasy points, is absolutely worth a start nowadays. Alex Green, not so much. James Starks might enter the picture again. The Rams have a bye this week. When they come back, Danny Amendola will be back. And, of course, we have the Superstorm Sandy on the East Coast. Thoughts and prayers to everyone affected by that. You hear me yawning? I'm sort of yawning here. I was up for Halloween last night, which we'll get to in a minute. The election of our lifetime is here. It's this coming Tuesday. This is the last chance I will have to try to influence your opinion through espousing my hyperbole or some combination of facts or thereof. Later today, Micah James will join us. Smitty will be here. Mike Neese will be here with the Fantasy Stock Exchange. And the FantasyInsights.com weekly report for Week 9. The crystal ball rankings are up at the site, FantasyInsights.com. Todd Colburn will put out his weekly article, Flex Appeal, this Friday. I was up till 3 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, and I was up by 7. It's just I can't do it like I used to. Targets and touches also up there. The injury report, the player news, depth charts are also free. We are back for another week of sports, steak, and the sexes. And as you know, the holidays are coming. And for all of the cheeses and sausages you need, the gourmet cheeses and sausages that you need, there's nowhere to go but northwoodscheese.com. That's northwoodscheese.com. Northwoodscheese.com, the FI Premium sponsor. Yeah, so last night was Halloween, and I was up really late. You know, I go to that Maroon 5 party every year. Oh, boy, I'm tired. Maroon 5 hosts a party, which I get to sneak into every year. And it has carnival stuff, it has dancing, it has DJs, it has complimentary beverages, complimentary In-N-Out burger. But the greatest thing is it's the girls and the costumes. Now, this begins basically, or really culminates with the best 3 or 4 day period of the year, other than the opening of football season and when we're drafting, which is Halloween, when Facebook begins to run amok with photos of women who want to show their slutty self, the slutty version of themselves, I should say. Because these are normally girls who are not that way, but they want to show that they're just as sexy as all these young, slutty, mindless girls. So they put themselves on Facebook in their costumes. It's the greatest thing ever. There is more cleavage and thong-style short pants, I guess you'd call them, at this party. Oh, one better than the next. Amazing-looking women. I'm there with my wife, my pregnant wife. She looked great. She doesn't even get mad when I look. She's like, oh, yeah, she's cute. Oh, yeah, she's cute. Ew, that one's gross. Oh, she's cute. That one's gross. Now, the problem is she is pregnant, as I said, so they had In-N-Out Burger there. And she's going to the restroom, and she says, now get me a burger, and she likes it with the cheese, the extra pickles, grilled onions, no condiments. That's what she likes. Now, she's pregnant, so she asks for that. She goes to the bathroom. Well, I get up to the In-N-Out window, big line, and there's no ordering. They're just throwing you out. It's either cheese or no cheese. It includes everything. It's got the spread. It's got the lettuce, the tomato, the regular raw onion, and the cheese. And, you know, I grab them, and I find myself in a conversation with a guy. Guy actually manages the Saddle Ranch Club. I'm going to go over there and see him. Nice guy. And we're talking. His girl's in the bathroom. My girl's in the bathroom. And I'm sitting there holding these burgers. I cannot tell you what an aphrodisiac at this party with a lot of drunk people around. I must have had 4 or 5 of the hottest women come up and start to talk to me trying to get a piece of that burger. And I said, uh-uh, that's for my pregnant wife. Any other situation, that burger's yours. But no, you do not say no to a pregnant woman. So I'm explaining to this guy how when my wife gets back, she's going to be really happy about the burger, but it's not prepared the way she wants it. It's not made to order. So I'm going to hear about it. I'm talking about the pregnancy hormones and the emotions and everything that's going to be happening. So my wife comes out of the bathroom, sure enough. She grabs the burger, and I'm about to tell her, hey, babe, you know, like, it's not how you want it. And I said to him, okay, start the clock ticking. Within 30 seconds, she goes, hey, this isn't the way I wanted my burger. There's spit on this. There's lettuce on pregnant women. It's amazing. You just don't say no to a pregnant woman. So anyway, Halloween is the greatest time of year because now Facebook is full of all these really, really slutty costumes, really revealing costumes, and I'm excited about that. Now, one of the things that happened, that's basically the adult candy for trick-or-treating. This is kind of a mellow Halloween, maybe because it was a Wednesday, but I created a little bit of a firestorm on Facebook, not meaning to. You know, I thought it was funny. We were walking around. We were seeing all these Romney signs. By the way, my straw poll has Romney winning because I saw no Obama signs on anybody's lawn. And I saw several Romney signs on people's lawn. And this was in a heavily Hispanic area. So that was interesting to me. That's my limited sample poll. But so I posted. I said it's strange. Romney households, meaning the houses with the Romney signs, giving out a lot of candy. The signs, the Obama signs, they're giving out food stamps. I think that's funny. But it set off a huge debate thread on Facebook. And people were getting ugly. And I think this is really the problem. Nobody talks anymore. They just yell louder. Now, I was called a racist, which this is my favorite thing. I'm married to a Mexican woman. I've employed and been friends with people of every race and religion and creed. But so I was called a racist because of the food stamp thing. And I wrote back, you know what? It's racist for you to say that it's racist. Because most people don't know this, but African Americans make up less than 15% of the population of America. And over 53% of Americans get food stamps or some other form of aid. So 65 million black people in this country, 160 million handouts or more. So even if every single African American in this country was on food stamps, which is obviously not the case, That's less than 40% of the entire population getting food stamps. 40%. So 60% or more are non-African American. They're a different race of people. Okay? So if I'm a racist, how is food stamps racist? Food stamps is not a racial issue. Food stamps is a poverty issue. And poverty is no longer a black minority issue. It is a universal issue across all races, colors, and creeds. So like I said, the problem with the food stamps isn't feeding the hungry or the veterans. We have to do that. That's obvious. The problem with the food stamps is this CalFresh thing, this ad campaign I heard, where it's like a normal family at home, and they're talking about how they just use their CalFresh food stamps to get organic food. Are you kidding me? There's got to be some shame in having to be on the food stamps. It can't just be business as usual. You need workfare, not welfare. I'd pick up trash on the highway. Okay, sweep a storefront. Anything. Anything. They should have to do something. Anyway, I've said many times before, I have no problem with Obama. I have no problem with Romney. The men, they're both good dudes. Good fathers, good husbands, good family men. But I do obviously have personal disagreements with Obama's policies, and I think it's pretty clear that after 4 years of his stewardship, we are weakened even more economically, militarily, and politically in world affairs. It looks like this Benghazi cover-up and the lack of attention by the media, which is absolutely mind-blowing, ABC, CBS, NBC, have not covered this Benghazi scandal at all, where the brief facts are that SEALs were under fire. Strike teams and gunships could have saved them. They had targets painted. All they needed was a gunship to come and take out the targets they had painted. But those gunships were told to stand down. They didn't stand down, all of them anyway. And now admirals and generals are being fired. Now, what is interesting to find out here is that we were supplying weapons to Al-Qaeda assets in Tripoli to funnel those arms to Syria, the type of dirty shit you hear about in movies. You know, it's fine to do it. You got to build up a guy sometimes, but it's like that movie with Pacino, don't get caught. And it looks like they didn't want certain evidence coming out, and this CIA type stuff, I get it, but the cover up to the families of the people who were lost and the UN apology about the video have to be enough for a lot of people to be over this whole mess with Obama. It's sickening. Now listen, this is my pulpit. It's the only chance I get, and the election's Tuesday. So obviously I'm endorsing Romney because of my old political philosophy. And my old political philosophy that I've had since I was able to vote at 18 is this. They are all equally full of shit. So I vote for the two issues which are most important to me. Stronger defense and lower taxes. Those are my two core issues. I think those are the two cornerstones of a society, low taxes and strong defense. Because it doesn't matter if you have gay marriage, it doesn't matter if you have the right to an abortion or don't have the right to abortion, if you're being bombed and you can't afford to pay for any of it. What's wrong with people? Anyway, you need to determine your core issues and vote accordingly. But what we really should do when we're talking about stronger defense is we should vote on something more exciting, which is who to sit and who to start for your fantasy team. Now, as you all know, if you listen to the show, we do it in reverse. The opening segment is garbage time. It's where I get to espouse whatever's on my mind, which I have just done, and then we get to football for 45 minutes. We bring on experts who can help out. The first one who is here, had to listen to my rant through the break, is Micah James, the fantasy football magic man. Micah, how are you?
Dish, I'm doing good. My core issue is free red zone TV for everybody, cable or direct TV. So
well,
that's what
know,
I'm voting on.
You'd win for sure on that platform.
Absolutely.
It falls into my category of lower taxes, so to speak. I mean, it's just lowering the output.
Exactly. It's money we don't have to pay for something, and we can put that money to other use.
Yeah, absolutely, which to me is the ingredient of a good economy. If I don't have to pay for my red zone package, I'm likely to buy an NFL jersey. If I buy an NL jersey, somebody has to make it, somebody has to sell it, somebody has to ship it. Somebody's making money. It's good for the economy all the way around. It creates jobs. We are under a minute until the end of this segment. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back in segment two with Micah James, the fantasy football magic man. We're going to talk about quarterback, running back, receiver, and tight end that we're excited about this week. We're going to get to all the sleepers, going to get to all the discussion topics, go over the injuries. When we come back, Fantasy Insights Radio, 45 minutes of football.
flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Every Wednesday, you'll want to talk sports with Touchdown Tony Collins and his co-host Bill Mattis. Tony's broken records and has been to the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl. We'll talk about what's happening in sports every week with news, action, and notable guests from all aspects of the sports world. We'll also involve you by discussing questions and topics of interest sent in via email from listeners all over the world. Become what you believe. Tune into Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins, Wednesdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
You know, our good friend, the Fantasy Taz, Jim Day, is supposed to be on the podcast on a regular basis, and it occurs to me I have not heard back from him. Jim, thoughts and prayers to you and your family. He is in New Jersey in the eye of the storm. Mike and I were talking about this a little bit in the break, and, you know, obviously, Jim, we wish you well. Anything you need from us, please let us know. Now, Mike, I was talking about this Halloween party that I went to last night, which is the Maroon 5 party, and it's just wall-to-wall women, all the wannabe models and actresses dressed in the skimpiest clothing you could imagine and just liquored up and fancy-free.
Yes.
I think the only way, you know, we talk about athletes trying to avoid situations that where they can get in trouble. I think the only way to avoid trouble in a situation like that when you're a married man, you got to bring your wife to the party.
Yeah, or you've got to have a costume that was like Gilbert Grape or, you know, Oscar the Grouch or something that just totally covers up any attractiveness that you have.
Oh, no, see, I'm not worried about that. I mean, I never worry about the women hitting on me. If they do, that's great. When I, like I said, I found my aphrodisiac, just carry around the In-N-Out burgers. It's the eyes. I think what you were getting at, you started off on the right track, is you need to have a mask that sort of covers your eyes so your wife can't really see where you're looking.
To watch those wander across the corner. Now I'm with you. Okay, yeah, some one of those little glasses that have the closed eyes on the front of them or,
right,
you know, something like
right.
that to be
no,
discreet.
Right,
I hear you.
Come on. If I go to Vegas, you know, for business, I'm not going to Club Pure or Wet Republic or any of those where all those gorgeous women. It's just not a smart thing to do. Not without my wife.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm going to Miami next week. I'm not going to go down to South Beach. I'm staying in my hotel. Going to watch a little pay-per-view movie.
There you go.
You know, have a nice room service.
Titles don't show up on your bill.
That is the most genius thing that was ever done in business on that end of the business, along with Facebook's thing where they don't let anybody know who sees your page.
For sure.
Those two things would kill both industries. All right, so getting to the industry we care so much about, let's get to fantasy football. And for those of you who have not yet given us a try on Sunday mornings, Micah is now a stalwart, a regular counselor of the court on final decisions of Fantasy Insights, which is Sunday mornings on Blog Talk Radio. Micah, a quarterback for this week. Talk about some guys we're excited about. There's a guy I'm excited about this week, and two guys that people have really been down on. My guys this week at quarterback are Mike Vick and Cam Newton. Cam Newton plays the Redskins. Terrible matchup. I mean, great matchup for him. Terrible for the Redskins. And Mike Vick plays the worst passing defense in the league, the Saints. With everything he's gone through, I think this is the week he gets it right. And same with Cam Newton. What are your thoughts on those two guys? And then let's hear from you what quarterback you're excited about.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think this better be Vic's week. You know, you couldn't really set it up any better. I saw earlier today that he called a players-only meeting. And, you know, basically, it's pretty well agreed. Andy Reid is coaching for his job, and I think Mike Vick may very well be playing for his on Sunday. So regardless of their matchup, you've got to figure he's going to be, not to say he doesn't go 100% every Sunday, but definitely realizes the importance of this game. You put him against the Saints, who are giving up, you know, point after point to quarterbacks. It's just the perfect matchup for him. So I think this is going to be a real good barometer to see if Vic is somebody that we can even count on going forward. If he fails this test, I think he almost becomes, you know, waiver wire material or certainly benchable. And Cam Newton, almost the same thing, although I think to a little bit lesser degree. I love Cam's matchup as well. I know people have really been down on him this year, and his production has really suffered just because he's not throwing a lot of touchdowns. He had a fair game against the Bears last week. They're on the road against a tough defense. And, you know, he still put up decent fantasy numbers. Washington has given up, you know, 300-plus yards to quarterbacks this year. So, again, it's a great matchup for Newton. You got to figure if there's a week that he's going to get it done, it's this week.
Yeah, I think so. Now, any quarterbacks that you're particularly excited about this week that may be off the radar?
Excited might be too strong of a word for this guy, but I really like Jay Cutler this week going up against Tennessee. You know, Cutler is an up-and-down guy, and he kind of snuck a victory against the Panthers last week. They had to do a little bit of a comeback and get a last-minute field goal, but they got a win, and Brandon Marshall had some good things to say about Cutler going into the fourth quarter of that game and basically put it on Jay and said, hey, he's the reason that we won. Tennessee is giving up an average of 25 points per game to opposing quarterbacks, so that certainly is in Cutler's favor. But I think the bigger thing to me, why I really like Cutler this week, the Titans have no pass rush, and so they only have 11 sacks on the season. Cutler should have a really clean pocket. He should have a lot of time to throw, and that bodes well for him. So I do like Cutler's matchup this week against the Titans.
Yeah, I think that's actually, the Titans, I think, are 31st against the pass. So that's a good call, absolutely. I always am so nervous about Cutler, but I am starting him in our Writers League this week. I'm going to start him over Philip Rivers and Brandon Whedon both. Running back, this week, I love LeSean McCoy this week. I think that they're going to tear up New Orleans. And I actually like Jonathan Dwyer against the Giants, even though the Giants are kind of tough on running backs. I just think Dwyer's on a roll, and Pittsburgh's doing a good job getting him. Am I mistaken on these two guys, or is this the week McCoy finally looks like McCoy, and is Dwyer really, is he saleable? Is he playable there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we just kind of like we talked about with Vic, McCoy is really in that same boat. The Saints are giving up 170-some-odd yards on the ground this season. So, you know, it seems to shape up for a perfect matchup for McCoy. The bigger thing to me, I think, and what I really hope to see is Andy Reid and the coaching staff trying to go back to a game plan that really involves McCoy. You might have heard this stat. I went back and looked at it again before getting on with you this afternoon just to be sure. But when McCoy gets 20 or more carries, not touches, but actual handoffs, the Eagles are 10-1. So if I'm a coach of the Eagles, I know I'm in a must-win game. I think I'm going to go, okay, 1 plus 1 equals 2, 20 carries for McCoy equals a W, the man's going to get the rock. So I love McCoy this week as well. Dwyer, on the other hand, I've never been a huge fan of him personally. I think his situation has been such that he's done well the last couple weeks, and that's been as much opportunity as it has just his ability, in my opinion. But it doesn't look like Mendenhall is going to play again on Sunday. And so, you know, you've got Dwyer, Redmond, I think we might just see on third down work. He's done well the past couple of weeks. I think you got to ride him until he doesn't perform. So I'm not real high on him, but I think he's startable.
Is the Giants' defense a little too scary to start him, though?
They don't particularly scare me. That defense is a great fantasy defense because they tend to grab a lot of interceptions and they're sort of opportunistic that way, but they don't really scare me from a running standpoint. I do think Pittsburgh's going to throw a ton, but I think Dwyer's startable.
Okay, and what any running backs, you know, I only mentioned McCoy and Dwyer. What any running backs that you're looking at the rankings this week thinking this guy's going to break out?
Well, I don't know if it's a breakout because he's been pretty good this whole season, but a guy that I think is going to have another real solid week is Willis McGahee against the Bengals. The Bengals have given up 9 rushing touchdowns so far this year. They're 28th in the NFL, and they're allowing well over 100 yards a game to opposing running backs. I know Cincinnati's coming out of a bye, but I really think that they're going to focus so much on trying to slow down Peyton Manning and those wide receivers that McGahee is maybe going to be an afterthought. And as long as he, you know, continue to stay healthy, which he hasn't had any issues with this year, I really like his matchup on the road at Cincinnati.
Wide receiver this week is interesting. There are a bunch of receivers that I've put up near the top because they're matchups. Some have been underperforming. Well, the first one I'll get to is Andre Johnson. He plays against Buffalo. I think Andre Johnson's poised for a huge, huge week this week. He's one of my top receivers. I also have Steve Smith way up there because they play Washington. And because they're playing the Saints, I've got both Jeremy Maclin and DeSean Jackson in our top 12 receivers this week. Am I crazy playing these matchups to that degree, or are these four guys all going to have big weeks like I think?
Yeah, I don't think you're crazy. I mean, we've got enough of a sample size now that I think we've got a pretty good idea of what these NFL defenses are going to be like. It's rare midway through a season, unless there's just somebody that's coming back from a big injury or somebody gets injured, that you see a defense sort of change character. So I think all of those guys definitely have good matchups. Again, you know, with Andre Johnson, he's been very disappointing. I think part of that actually has been by design. I think they saw how devastating the injuries were to them in last year's playoff run, that they're really going to do everything they can to try and keep Johnson healthy, to keep Foster fresh. And so, yeah, I think he's in a good position to have a good week. Steve Smith, I agree with you 100%. And, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Maclin or Jackson have a breakout game against the Saints. Everybody else does.
Which one do you like better, Maclin or Jackson, for this week?
I'm a Maclin fan. I know Jackson's always got the big hits, and if your league has some, you know, yardage bonuses and things like that, you might lean that way. But it just always seems to me like Maclin is a bit of Vic's safety blanket, so I almost always prefer Maclin when given the choice.
Anybody jumping out at you that I didn't mention that you think is going to have a big week?
Yeah, I love Mike Wallace this week. I think, as I mentioned earlier on the running backs with Dwyer, I think Pittsburgh's going to be throwing like crazy. And in their home games so far this season, the Giants have given up at least 2 touchdowns to opposing wide receivers in each game. So I think Mike Wallace is going to have a chance to get over the top of those guys. I know Prince is playing pretty well, but I look for Wallace to have a really big game this week.
Yeah, he needs to get in the end zone. He's got to get his owners back on track. Tight end. I'm interested in Dwayne Allen because Kobe Fleener went down, and he'll be out for a week or two. I think he actually is a viable start this week. But the guy that I'm really high on that I think is going to tear it up, that I've put in our top 7 of tight ends this week, is Greg Olsen because he's playing that Washington defense. Am I missing something, or is this his week?
You know, he's been kind of frustrating, actually. Had a couple of good games earlier in the season. The last few weeks, he's really not been on the radar in terms of targets or production or anything. I think that's as much a factor of Carolina trying to figure out exactly what kind of offense they want to run. Washington has certainly not been good against the pass. They've done a little bit better against tight ends, but I think Olsen is startable. 7, I mean, if I'm ranking them, that's probably a little bit higher than I'd go, but I think he's definitely a top 12 guy. As far as Allen is concerned, you would think logically, given that Fleener's not going to be there, Allen's going to see more targets. Actually, to me, feels like it might roll the other way. Miami's defense is pretty good, and even though Fleener has been more of the pass runner and the route runner, I think they may need Allen in there to do a little bit more blocking. So I think he's startable, but I wouldn't expect great things out of Allen, and part of that goes to Luck's struggles that he's had here over the past few weeks, too.
Interesting. Is there a tight end that you're looking at that you think can break out this week?
I like Jermaine Gresham an awful lot. Denver is allowing 11 fantasy points to tight ends this year. Gresham, over his last 3 games, has been seeing 6-plus targets. I think that Dalton is probably going to have to do a little bit more checking down. The question is going to be, how involved is Gresham going to be running routes, or are they going to need him to stay in and try and take the edge off of some of those Denver pass rushers? But I think they're going to try and handle them first and, you know, let their guards and offensive line take on Doomerville and Miller one-on-one. So I like Gresham to have a little bit bigger game and, you know, maybe get into the end zone.
We are talking with the Fantasy Football Magic Man, ffmagicman.com, Micah James. He's also at ffmagicman on Twitter. He'll be back with us in the next segment. Next segment, we'll talk about some deep sleepers you can play with your flex. We'll go over the injury report a little bit, and we've got some discussion topics. Jamie Harper, Brown and Ballard, Titus Young and Ryan Broyles, Jonathan Stewart, Pierre Garçon, and more. Coming back, Fantasy Insights Radio on a Thursday.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
All right, Fantasy Insights Radio. We are back with the Fantasy Football Magic Man, Micah James. And we are also joined by Fantasy Insights senior writer, Smitty. How you doing there?
I'm doing all right. Ready for another fun night of football here with the Chiefs and the Chargers. I'm good.
Would you care to take 15 seconds to try to sell our audience on your candidate?
For this coming week?
Yes, 15 seconds.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay, we can do that. At QB, Josh Freeman, probably not on your waiver wires, but a great start if you got him. If you can't get him,
I think you misunderstood.
What's it?
He gave you the platform, Smitty.
I'm giving you your platform for socialism. This is my version of equal time.
Sorry.
15 minutes.
Never mind. Okay, here's
the thing. I spoke for 15 minutes on Romney. You get 15 seconds on Obama.
In 120 days, your merry band of mendacious Mormon marchers will be irrelevant, as will be your political opinions. Obama wins easily, and he's going to be over 300 electoral votes. Mark it down.
Oh, my God, you are so far off. Okay, getting back to football.
Remember what I said, though, over 300. He's going over 300.
Yeah, there's no chance. This Benghazi thing's going to take him down.
Okay, if he does, you owe me $100, just out of the blue.
Do you want me to bring up the $75 that I earned from you this week?
Okay.
Do you want to tell everybody how I earned that
$75? You bring up the monies that you still owe me?
Yeah, but that's a different story. I doubled Smitty up in our fantasy writers league this
week.
No,
you didn't. You were 6 points short.
All right, let's get to some players.
I will not be doubled up, sir.
Before we get to, maybe we'll get to these takes here.
Yeah.
A deep sleeper for this week that you could play at your flex. Micah and I had gone through the other positions. Micah, my guys are Ryan Broyles and Philip Tanner. Ryan Broyles I like this week because I think against Jacksonville there will be extra attention paid to Titus Young now that wasn't there before, and that'll free Broyles up to be on the nickelback. I also think that Philip Tanner is going to have to get an increased workload because DeMarco Murray is not going to play and Felix Jones just isn't playing even when he's playing. Micah, thoughts on that, and would you add a deep sleeper that people can use as a flex play?
Yeah, you're not worried about Mike Thomas cutting into Ryan Broyles snaps at all, are you?
Not at all.
No, I was saying that tongue-in-cheek. I'm not either. I think he's got to really just be more of a return.
Although, you know what? Probably if he's going to get any time, it'll be this week because they're playing Jacksonville. They might like to stick it to Jacksonville. But it's interesting, tongue-in-cheek, but it could end up hurting Broyles a bit. But I'm okay with it. But go ahead.
No, too soon. They just got him.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he sees much time, at least on the field in an offensive formation. They'll probably use him on returns in one way or another, and I'm sure he's given them some inside intel about what Jacksonville's trying to do. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, I think Broyles is a very nice deep sleeper, if we can call him that anymore. I mean, he almost had a breakout game last week, so I think he's definitely on folks' radar and somebody that you need to keep an eye on. That Detroit matchup should be very, very juicy for Stafford, and I think Broyles is great. Philip Tanner, I've been a real big fan on this whole season, probably as much because I just think Felix Jones has, you know, nothing left.
Right.
And so I agree. I think, Atlanta, Dallas is going to try and establish the run. They always do. The problem is it's just not very successful most of the time, and they end up throwing. So I don't know that I'd expect a ton out of Tanner again this week, just given that matchup. But he's definitely somebody you can throw in there in a pinch in a deep sleeper role.
Who do you got for me out of your archives? Who do you like this week?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to throw in, we talked about this matchup a little bit earlier and how much we both like Cam Newton as a surprise performer this week. And with Brandon LaFell going to be on the shelf, my surprise sleeper is going to be Lewis Murphy. He saw 9 targets in their second-to-last game against Dallas. Had 4 targets against the Bears, didn't convert any of those into catches, but as bad as Washington's secondary is, I think they're going to need to focus on trying to contain Steve Smith, which should leave Lewis Murphy open to do a little bit of that kind of dirty work along the sidelines, and I think Lewis Murphy could be a surprise play this week.
Now, that is a deep sleeper. Smitty, Micah and I talked about quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, but your deep sleeper, since we're on the topics, who's your deep sleeper for a flex position this week?
Well, here's a good one, and I think you can probably find on many waiver wires. Running back Daniel Thomas for the Dolphins has been hurt, was back last week, scored a touchdown. Colts terrible on D. Of course, you're going to start Reggie Bush, but I think Daniel Thomas is a good bet for double-digit points, even more if he gets a touchdown. So Daniel Thomas is a good call, and I'll also throw in the Detroit running back, Joik Bell. Rumor is that Michael Ashour isn't hurt, but it's not going to take much for Schwartz to pull him again and give all the work to Bell against the fearsome Jaguars, which, by the way, it scares me that you need insights to beat the Jaguars. If the Lions think they're still a playoff team, you got to win that game hands down, nevertheless. So those are my two, Daniel Thomas and Joik Bell.
See, you got it, Ms. Joiky. The announcers call him Joik. I always thought his name was Joikwa.
Who knows? No one knows. I mean, no one knows for sure.
Jacquay Bell, but, you know, he is in all the passing situations. Okay, so interesting. LaShore did practice today, by the way. Quarterbacks, I went with Vic. I went with Cam Newton. Micah, you went with who?
Jay Cutler.
With Jay Cutler. Anybody to add to that equation, Smitty?
Yeah, well, Cutler's a good start at Tennessee, but what I started to say is Josh Freeman is a really good start playing against Oakland. He's finally doing what the team drafted him to do, and if you can't get Freeman, which you probably can't get on waiver wires these days, go with Carson Palmer. Also, a really good start. Darius Heyward-Bey is back and healthy. Both those quarterbacks in that game are nice starts.
We talked about LeSean McCoy. We talked about Jonathan Dwyer. Those were my picks. Micah went with
Willis McGahee.
Willis McGahee. a running back you're particularly excited about this week, Smitty?
Well, coming back to what I just said, I think Reggie Bush is a really good start. I think we're looking at big points for him in that game. So I go with that. And, of course, any of you out there lucky enough to have Arian Foster, the guy's going to go for 3 touchdowns and 200 yards or what have you. Reggie Bush as far as a guy that people might be debating.
Yeah, we've got Foster projected with about 120 yards and 2 scores this week. Let's see, and that's just rushing. Andre Johnson, Steve Smith, Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson were my 4 guys that I'm really looking at this week. Micah, who did you add?
Mike Wallace.
And Micah added Mike Wallace. Those are the 5 guys we see at the top of the board of the receivers. Who's the receiver that you see having a breakout game, Smitty?
God, the guys you just named are all my guys that are on bye weeks, the week that you almost doubled me up last week, but that's beside the point. I think with Jordy Nelson out and, of course, Greg Jennings just had his surgery, DeMichael Finley has forgotten how to play. James Jones is good for 1, hopefully 2 scores as the Green Bay Packers continue to roll. So James Jones is a guy that I love for start this week.
And what about a tight end? I went with Dwayne Allen and Greg Olsen. Micah added in Jermaine Gresham. What are your thoughts at tight end?
Well, I'm repeating y'all a little bit there because I think it is coming back to Greg Olsen there. I think against Washington, that's a really solid start. I suppose, you know, in some, I've seen in a few leagues that some anxious owners have dropped their favorite Kyle Rudolph. So that's another one that you can go with confidence. He's not going to be shut out too much often. I think Ponder's struggling a little bit, so hopefully he gets back to basics and goes back to his target there.
I'm still holding out for Joe Webb to get replaced Ponder.
Might be holding on that one a while.
Yeah, I understand Webb's a Romney Ryan supporter, too.
Well, oh, by the way, I went as a hunter last night, and yeah. Erica went as the deer that I was hunting. It's worth you looking at my Facebook page to see the photo of me sitting in front of a Romney Ryan sign dressed as a hunter. I said that this sign completed the costume.
I saw that, and, you know. I don't respond to your provocative comments there, but some of your buddies apparently took them a little seriously.
Oh, my God. That's what I was saying. Everybody went nuts last night. I thought it was a pretty innocuous joke. I thought it was pretty funny. You know, it was just a little slam. Boy, the lefties, they sure can't take a joke. Speaking of not taking a joke.
We've taken Romney Ryan all year. Now we're going to take him down.
All right. I believe a very esteemed member of this panel, in fact, perhaps the one donning the robes of the judge, mentioned that Donald Driver was worth a flex start last week, and Donald Driver responded with a touchdown. If Jordy Nelson does not play again, is Donald Driver again worth a flex start, a flex play against Arizona? What are your thoughts? Let's start with you, Micah.
I think he is. You know, there's still an awful lot of targets to go around, but like we saw last week, the old guy can still get it done when he needs to. And down toward the red zone, when Rodgers gets, you know, to where he's looking for somebody that's going to make a little bit of a break and have that opening, he'll still get the ball in there. So, yeah, if Nelson does not play this Sunday, I think you can start Driver again.
Smitty?
Well, I think you're going pretty deep compared to what else might be out there. But all you have right now in Green Bay, we already talked about James Jones, you got Randall Cobb, and then with Finley being inept these days, yeah, Driver's your third guy. So that's kind of your call. Do you want third guy Green Bay, or do you want third guy Detroit, which brings you back to Ryan Broyles?
Interesting. Any thoughts about sitting Bradshaw in leagues because of the injury that he's playing through and he's losing some carries? I still have him as a top 15 back. Any problems with him being the top 15 back, Smitty?
Top 15 is a little high. You're hoping that he pushes through. I think he feels a little pressure from the guys behind him. Obviously, Andre Brown had a great game. David Wilson will eventually take over much of that work. So, you know, if you got a better option, fine, but you got to go with him if unless you've got an incredibly stacked team at running back.
Sticking with our political theme of analogies, I believe one of you is on the wrong side of history on the Donald Brown and Vic Ballard argument. And I believe, Micah, you are very anti-Vic Ballard. Am I correct there?
I cannot call him Vic Stinkin' Ballard anymore.
That's
because
right.
My process was, until he did something in the NFL, I would refer to him as Vic Stinkin' Ballard. And that little Shamu dolphin-looking flip thing that he did into the end zone on Sunday counts as something. So he's no longer Vic Stinkin' Ballard. I'm just going to call him Flipper.
And that's good. I like that. And Smitty, What do you think? Donald Brown, Vic Ballard. I mean, Brown actually sat out practice today after practicing yesterday. They haven't disclosed if it was because of an injury or for rest. But assuming they're both healthy, are they both playable? Do they both hurt each other? Where are you looking at with those two guys?
I will have to, as you know, shade Ballard there because Ballard has now gone over double digits two straight weeks. And, yeah, that dive at the end of the game that wins you a game is pretty huge. And, you know, if you had to pick, if both are supposedly healthy, which, of course, Donald Brown, as is his wont, is not already, then I shade Ballard, and I would start Ballard ahead of Brown.
All right, we only got a minute or so till the break. But Jonathan Stewart, he's a featured back, and his first start was against Chicago. You knew that wasn't going to go great. This week he gets Washington. Is he a running back one this week? Each of you, real quick. Micah.
Yeah, I think he is a running back one this week. I actually like him going forward an awful lot the rest of this year. So, yep, I'm buying.
Smitty?
Yeah, same here. I think he's finally healthy. He's finally got the D'Angelo curse lifted off him. He can, and he'll focus. He's still a young guy. He was a big back at Oregon. I like him.
All right, when we come back, we'll have Mike Neese here with the Fantasy Stock Exchange. We'll talk about some more players, go over injuries, and have a little bit of the interrogation game on who to sit, who to start, Fantasy Insights Radio on a Thursday.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Lockdown Coverage.
Get ready to talk sports with the big guys. Tune in to Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis every Tuesday for the inside and outside of the business of sports. Keith and his guests will provide expert commentary and answer all of your burning questions about your favorite team, the players, and what's next. It's time to have fun with the game. Listen for Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis and his favorite co-hosts every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The talk doesn't get any hotter.
Sports continues to grow and evolve to ever-increasing prominence in today's society. On All Around Sports, host John Inglesby will connect with the leading newsmakers from the sports world, including players, owners, and fellow sports journalists, discussing the top news and events that are relevant to sports today. John will also report from and offer his experience of the world's top sports events. Tune in to All Around Sports with John Inglesby, Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
You know, I'm going to save myself so much cooking time this Thanksgiving. Because when the hors d'oeuvres come around, I'm just going to order from Northwoods Cheese. Northwoodscheese.com with all the gourmet sausages and cheeses you need for all of your celebrations. Northwoodscheese.com. You know, we're going to bring on Mike Neese now with the Fantasy Stock Exchange. It's always so funny because whenever I post something on Facebook that's controversial or political, I always get an immediate message from Mike. He's saying, hey, you know, we don't want to offend listeners. We don't want to offend. And I have to remind him every time, Mike, I'm generally offensive. That's me.
Yeah.
Everybody already knows it. I'm an idiot.
No, I mean, I'm taking your lead. I mean, I've taken your lead. I mean, I'm willing to offend anyone that disagrees with me.
Yeah, well, you offend even the people that like you. The thing is that, you know, you look around the television dial, the Real Housewives, all that stuff, the reason they work, there's drama. You can't have drama without controversy. So without further ado, let's bring on the retiree who is waiting for his 1.7% Obama increase, Michael Neese from Fantasy Insights, senior writer. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, don't mention Housewives. Between the Housewives and Detroit porn,
Yeah, but you know, that's why you don't see the Real Housewives of suburban Detroit.
That's not a good story.
We should get Eric into a show of fantasy housewives, fantasy football housewives.
Hey, I've got a fantasy housewife. In fact, we're going to find out in about an hour. I'm going to find out if the baby is a boy or a girl. Very
good. Oh,
exciting.
You are? Oh, good. Let Bonnie know, because she loves to do sports.
She's waiting. All right, I'll let her know. Okay, so, Mike, let's get into the football.
Alrighty.
The Fantasy Stock Exchange, a quarterback, a running back, a receiver, a tight end, all on the way up. Let's hear it.
All on the way up. Matthew Stafford. Everybody's been beating him down all season, but over the last three games, he's got over 300 yards passing and a 5-3 touchdown interception ratio. Running back. He's off this week, but when he comes back, remember Shane Vereen if you need a flex player. Over the last two games, he's got almost 100 yards combined and a touchdown. Miles Austin, with all the crap going on in Dallas, he's been overlooked. But over the last 2 weeks, he's had 14 catches, 230 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I didn't realize he was performing at that high a level.
No. Brandon Pettigrew, again, a team that's been overlooked offensively. He's had a steady average of five catches for about 55 yards. The first 7 weeks, he's only got one touchdown. But their offense seems to be in an upswing, and he should be one of the beneficiaries.
Well, you know, also, Detroit, they have the toughest schedule. And so I just think that now they're getting an easier schedule. It's good. And I see we have a caller on hold. Please hold. Matt, be ready to cue the music, as you say. But right now, who's on the way down, Mike?
Well, with all due respect to Mike, I've got to say Jay Cutler. I watch him every week, and he just about made me sick on Sunday. Less than 200 yards passing in 4 out of 7 games, and only a 9-8 touchdown interception ratio. He's been pathetic.
Even against Tennessee this week, you don't like him, huh?
Yeah, Bonnie likes him.
That's a good start.
All right.
Jamal Charles. He's had over 90 touches in 3 monster games. Then the last 2 games, he's had 19 touches and 57 yards. What's going on?
It's the question of the day. I don't know why they think that they have to get Hillis involved. That team's in disarray, and Cornell's going to get fired. What about a wide receiver and tight end?
Well, this is a story of hot and cold. Julio Jones has been very hot, but on the other hand, Roddy White, one of our elite wide receivers, has only averaged 60 yards, and he had one touchdown in the last 3 games.
Yeah, I still don't think you can bench Roddy White ever.
No, you can't bench him.
What about a tight end?
You can't bench him, but it's something to just pay attention to. And then, this is almost unfair picking an Eagle, but Selleck had that game where he had 8 catches for 157 yards in week 2. And over the last 5 weeks, he's had 16 catches for 167 yards. Only 10 more yards than in that one game.
Yeah,
and one touchdown.
What's more discouraging is I read that he only stayed in for about 5 snaps last game. He was out in the flat the whole time. All right, Mike, thank you very much for the Fantasy Stock Exchange. Please stick around. And, folks, we are back. It is that time after Halloween to exhibit some tradition.
Tradition!
This is always how we introduce the players from the Orthodox League I'm in. Who's on the line?
Why do you assume that I'm from the Orthodox League? Because my name is Moshe?
Yeah.
A little bit racist.
Come on. No, it's religiousist, not racist.
Sketchy. Well, I got a trade offer. I don't know what you think.
Okay, let's hear it.
Stephen Ridley and Colston for Chris Johnson and Antonio Brown.
Done.
Take it.
Done. Go send it to me. Yeah. I'll accept it.
Who should I take?
Who should you take?
Who would you rather have?
Well, I thought you were offering me the trade in our league.
This is a hypothetical.
Hypothetically, I think the person. Well, it depends on what you need this
and
week.
You're a higher standard here, Dish. You can't talk personal about your own.
I will defer to the panel. I will not recuse myself. But I, as you could see, I think by virtue of the fact that I have Ridley and Colston, and the trade in question is Ridley and Colston for Johnson and Antonio Brown, and I'm accepting the trade, I think whoever gets Johnson and Brown wins the trade. Brown is not as big as Colston. Ridley is not as big as Chris Johnson. However, Ridley's pretty strong. Colston's obviously very strong. I just would go the other way. I would like to make that trade. I think you should propose it to me. Let me open it up to the panel. I will recuse myself. Please, Micah James, advise our good friend.
I think it's a pretty fair deal if you're trying to shake your team up. To me, those running backs are about the same, actually. Colston and Brown are, again, about the same. So I don't see that one side is really favored over the other. Like I said, I think it's a fair deal. If you want to get some different guys on your roster, go for it.
I think that Colston and Ridley in combination actually outperform CJ and Antonio Brown, but the reason I would take it in this situation is I have Ridley on a bye this week. I am desperately in need of a win or my season's over. It's already over.
Let me ask you, I have to run the table in order to stay in it.
So that's why I like the other deal. But Smitty, what are your thoughts?
I like it. I want Ridley and Colston. So basically, if you're looking long term, Colston's still going to get better, and I just don't believe Chris Johnson this year, and Brown's been a total disappointment.
Mike Neese?
I'd have to agree with Smitty. You know, Brown doesn't score touchdowns, for one thing. I've got him on a team. He's a good guy if you need seven catches for 82 yards every week.
Right.
But he never gets in the end zone. In fact, they saw a film of him the other day on Fox Sports with him getting in the end zone, and they must have really had to search for it.
Chris Johnson's got a huge upside, but
I still don't trust the guy that has three or four games where he gets 14 yards.
All right, Misha, what are you going to do? Are you going to offer me the trade?
I'm thinking about what if you threw in Titus Young?
I can't throw in Titus Young. I could throw in maybe a Broyles, but I need somebody more too then. You got to send me a back.
Who would you rather, wait, last question, who would you guys rather have this week start, LeSure or Chris Johnson?
Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson.
LeSure for me.
So you can throw in LeSure, and I'll throw in Josh Gordon.
No.
All right. Unfortunately, thank you for the call very much. I'll speak to you soon. Unfortunately, we are under the time limit. We have to get going. So, everybody, you can always find us at fantasyinsights.com. You can look for me on Twitter, at Fantasy Insights, on Facebook, Dish Adams, or Fantasy Insights. And Micah James, the Fantasy Football Magic Man, at FF Magic Man and FFMagicMan.com. Mike Neese and Smitty are both senior writers for Fantasy Insights. You can read their columns and our premium report. Good luck this week. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Vote Romney.
The weekend is coming up, and now you know what's going to make you a better fantasy player. Tune in again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, for more of Fantasy Insights on the Voice America Sports Channel. Don't forget to visit FantasyInsights.com, the best fantasy football site on the net.